This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabi al-kareem. So this is the first video in a new series in which I'm going to be discussing some of the books that shaped my mind. And the reason for putting together this series is a lot of you have been asking me what are my favorite books of all time. As someone who reads about 60 books a year, I have a lot of favorite books. So what I decided to do was to really look at the books that shaped me as a person. That after reading that book, I was a different person from before it. And to share with you the book, what it's about, who the author is, and why it made such a big difference in my life. And initially, I'm going to do one video in which I go through the top 5 books that I ever read. I decided I won't do it that way because then I'll rush through the books and I wouldn't give a good enough explanation of the books. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to do one book per video. And for the first video, I want to start off with a book that shaped my understanding of Islamic law, of Sharia and Fiqh. This is a very important topic to me because when I first started studying and teaching Islam, I never used to spend too much time in the field of fiqh. The way fiqh was initially taught to me was in a very robotic way, like a book from 300 years ago would be presented to us and we'd be told these are the rules, no questions, don't look at the evidences, just follow what the book says. And a lot of what that book said didn't make any sense to me and wasn't relevant to the time and place I was living in. So I kind of thought that's what fiqh is, that's how fiqh works, and I didn't really get into the subject too much. I followed the rules, but I didn't want to do more reading on the topic. I didn't want to go further into the topic. Now, 20 years later, fiqh is one of my 3 areas of expertise along with tafsir and history. So how did it go from me not enjoying the subject of fiqh at all to specializing in this area? Well, it all began with one book that I read about, I would say about 18 years ago, right? And I still got my copy of it. The brilliant Ar-Risala fi Maqasid al-Sharia by the late Sheikh Muhammad al-Tahir ibn Ashur rahimahullah. So Ar-Risala fi Maqasid al-Sharia has been translated into English as a treatise on Maqasid al-Sharia and published by IIIT. And this is to me the most important book I ever read in my life on Islamic law. This book changed my entire perspective on what Islamic law is, how it works, and what the role of a scholar is supposed to be like in fiqh. And this book is so important, I've read it at least 3 times. At least once every 5 years, I read this book again in light of what I learned after that. So, to get into it, the author of the book is, to me, perhaps the greatest scholar of the 20th century and one of the most underrated scholars of the past generation. Sheikh Muhammad al-Tahir ibn Ashur was the Mufti of Tunisia. He was a Maliki Mufti of Tunisia. He passed away about 50 or 60 years ago. And he was an absolute giant of Islamic knowledge. Not just in fiqh, but tafsir as well. So if you look at the shelf behind me, that entire fiqh collection, the one that runs from here all the way to there, that's his work. Yeah, that's, if I say this is my favorite book of fiqh, that's my favorite book of contemporary tafsir. To have written a book like that on tafsir in the 20th century after the downfall of the caliphate, it's amazing that somebody actually did that. And when you read it, it's a phenomenal work. Like almost every public speaker I know of who does tafsir lectures, that's the book that they reference the most. That's their, like, one of the main sources from which they get their tafsir from. It's truly a masterpiece. But so is his book on fiqh, right? And this book changed my life in a variety of ways. Number one, this was my introduction to Maqasid al-Sharia. So when I had initially graduated as a Hanafi scholar, I had not heard of the concept of Maqasid al-Sharia. And later on I realized why, because this concept is more common amongst Maliki and Shafi jurists than it is amongst the Hanafi tradition. Not to say that it's not there, it's just not as common. right? So for example, the great Hanafi scholar Shah Waliullah Ad-Dihlawi, he wrote a lot on this topic in his Hujjatullah Al-Baligha, another one of my favorite books. But aside from him, most of the classical works of Maqasid al-Sharia were either written by a Maliki or a Shafi'i scholar. In this case, a Maliki, a contemporary Maliki from the generation before us. And what is Maqasid al-Sharia? Maqasid means goals or objectives. Maqasid al-Sharia means what is the objective behind the laws of Islam. And what Ibn Ashur rahimahullah captures in this book is the whys of Islamic law. Why did Allah reveal this rule? Why did Allah send down laws? Why did Allah send down morality? Why does Allah care what we do? Why has He made certain things haram? Why has He made certain things halal? And how does understanding the why affect our application of the law? Now, for me, this book was groundbreaking and it was paradigm shifting when I first read it 18 years ago, because up until that point, I did not look at Islamic law as something that had reasoning behind it. It simply was, the book says this, that's what you do. The book says that, that's what you do. And by the book, I'm not referring to the Quran or Sunnah. I'm talking about something written in India about 300 or 400 years ago, that you just follow it and you don't ask any questions. There was no reason, there was no logic, there wasn't even any scriptural evidence. It just was what the book says you do. That was the understanding of fiqh I had until that point. So when I first read this book, and when I saw how he brings in the Quran and the Sunnah and the example of the Prophet and the Sahaba and how they understood law and how they understood the flexibility of the law based on circumstances, and how, when he explained the goals of Islamic law. So for example, he explains that all of Islamic law revolves around facilitating that which is beneficial for us and removing that which is harmful to us. And so Allah wants to facilitate that which is beneficial for us. So He instituted marriage, He gave parents rights, He gave children rights, He gave us the right to earn wealth. He wants to protect us from that which is harmful to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He prohibited riba, He prohibited alcohol, He prohibited gambling because they are harmful to us. When He explained the law in this way, and then from there He breaks down some of the maxims of this, that difficulty makes the law relaxable. And culture has a role in shaping certain secondary aspects of law. So some things in the secondary areas of law may be practiced in one way in South Africa and a different way in the USA. And that's fine, because there is a diversity of earth, there is a diversity of culture. When I first read this book, I had never heard of any of that. I had literally never heard of any such concepts. And this book made me fall in love with the concept of fiqh and sharia and maqasid al-sharia and qawaid al-fiqhiyah, the goals of Islamic law and the maxims of Islamic law. And I went and studied further. I read every possible book I could find on the topic. I studied it part of my bachelor's program. I attended lectures by scholars on these topics, and essentially this became one of the areas that I specialize in, and I ended up even teaching it at the university level. But it all started with this one book. And just to give you an idea of some of the concepts that he covers in this book, he talks about the concept of maslaha. Right now, this is a bit of an overused term in our times, but when I first heard of it, it was amazing. And really, when it's applied properly, it's a very important term. And what maslaha means is that sometimes you have to look at the greater good, that what's going to bring about more benefit for the ummah. Right. I know in certain contexts this concept is misused today, but for a scholar, it is very important when doing fiqh that you look at the maslaha. You don't just look at the text, but you look at the wisdom and the reasoning behind the law and what's going to achieve the goals of the sharia. He talks about things I've never heard of before when it comes to Islamic law. He talks about what is freedom in Islam. How does it differ with the Western concept of freedom? What kind of freedoms does Islam actually secure for the residents of an Islamic country? What does equality mean in Islam? How does it differ from other ideas of equality? And how would that be applied in an Islamic land, right? So he mentions very clearly that equality in Islam is not the same like what the other nations would say. So for example, we believe that men and women have different roles in a marriage, but they're equal in the sight of Allah. They're equally responsible for their good deeds and their sins, and they have equal chance of getting into paradise. But they have different responsibilities in the family unit. And he's very clear about all of this. So there are some truly amazing topics here. He has a whole section on family law, on finance law, on how the judges can use this concept in working on court cases. And he really shows one of the most important things I took from this book, with three things. Number one, that there's wisdom behind the laws of that Allah has revealed. And once I understood the wisdoms behind the law, I fell in love with the law, and the Sharia itself became to me a proof that Islam is the true religion, that no human being could have invented this law system. It has to come from the Creator. Number two, the second thing that I took from this is that some aspects of Islamic law, specifically the secondary aspects, are flexible. They are flexible based on culture, based on circumstance, based on maslaha, based on difficulty, all of these things. And again, the ijtihad has to be done by ulama, but there is room for diversity within our law, that certain things can be practiced in one way in South Africa and a different way in the USA. And the third thing that I took from this book is that there's a lot of sciences behind law, behind the fiqh, that you need to master in order to truly appreciate the fiqh. You see, the mistake I made when I was younger was that I just approached fiqh as law. That this is the book, you study it, you memorize it, you follow it. I did not study the behind the scenes sciences that shape the law. So for example, maqasid al-sharia, the goals of Islamic law, that shapes the law. Qawaid al-fiqhiyah, the maxims of fiqh. Qawaid al-fiqhiyah are these formulas that summarize the laws of Islam. So for example, al-mashaqqatu tajlibu al-taysir. Extreme difficulty causes relaxation of the law. This is a maxim of fiqh, that when it's a difficult situation, the law relaxes. Another example would be al-adat muhakkama. Local culture is the deciding factor. That when there's a clash of cultures and both sides are halal, you need to follow the local culture. This is an important behind-the-scenes science that you need to study to understand and to apply Islamic law properly. And of course, usulul fiqh, the principles of Islamic law, which I did study when I was younger, but not properly and not to the level that it needed to be studied. I had to go back and restudy it again in my 20s. So that journey began with this book. And this is why, right from today, when anyone asks me, especially when any student of knowledge, someone who's doing the Alimiyah program or being in Islamic studies, asks me what book they should read to understand the Sharia or fiqh better, this is the number one book I always recommend to them. If you haven't read this book, then there's a lot of things you are not understanding about Islamic law, and you need to read this book. Really, if you are a student of knowledge, if you are someone who appreciates or wants to appreciate the field of fiqh and Sharia and wants to understand it on a deeper level, then this is the book to read. So yeah, this is the first book on the list of books that shape the way I think. This is my favorite book on Islamic law, the book Al-Risala fi Maqasid al-Sharia, a treatise on Maqasid al-Sharia by the late great Maliki scholar Muhammad At-Tahir ibn Ashur rahimahullah. May Allah have mercy on the author, accept his good deeds and forgive his errors, and give him the reward of anyone who benefits from any of his books. Until next time, Jazakallah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.